Good evening, y'all.
Love Talk Radio.
We're back with another episode. It feels like it's been a while since we actually recorded last, but we got a little spicy episode on tonight. So who's all on the line with me right now?
What it do, JD?
Okay. We got Soulja Boy on the line. I know y'all seen this nigga new ad.
Right.
Brittany is here.
That Abby is horrible.
Okay, hey, bruh.
But I'm going to let him cook. Britt, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Right, so, yes, I can definitely hear you. Okay, so we got Bree, JD, and Britt, and we're waiting for Typo Queen. But we're going to just go ahead. We got a short show tonight. We're only doing 45 minutes because I think that's enough time. So we're probably going to get away from, like, hour-long episodes unless it's some spicy shit. So we might just end up, you know, periscoping that possibly. But we'll see. But, all right, so y'all ready to begin listening to that again?
Oh, for sure.
Are y'all ready? Okay.
Always ready.
Okay, so I have Britt on the line, and she is a part of the research team, and she got a whole bunch of, give me one second. Hold on. Okay, so we got our caller in on the line. That's going to give us a personal experience with abortion, but we're going to get into her. I mean, do you want to discuss it now, or do you want to wait until we get into the topic, our secret caller?
I think you should wait.
Yeah, I can
you
chime
wait?
In once y'all go. Yeah, I'll chime in.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, so what was I saying before I got I can't multitask at all. What was I just saying? Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah, you said that we might not get into everything.
Okay, so wait, what was I saying before I introduced our secret caller?
You said you have a secret guest to speak about personal experience, and then we'll go on.
Now I remember. Okay. Britt, she does the research for the podcast, all right? And she does really fucking good research. So we're going to get into this topic tonight. So I hope y'all are ready for it because it's really a lot to unpack. So, where do you want to start?
You can just start at the top.
Okay, let's start with
everything is in order.
Right, so let's start with Planned Parenthood. the Black State of the Union versus Planned Parenthood, abortion, welfare, and race. No great divide. Boom. So, let's start. And we have Typo Queen on the line with us. So, we're getting into the discussion now since you called in. So, go ahead. Let's chat.
All right, so
me?
Basically it's...
No. The researcher, Britt. She's about to get into it. So if y'all can y'all mute until she's done and then we can do the feedback and all that good stuff? Thanks.
Okay, so good evening, everybody. Hope you had a good day today. So here's the thing. We've all been discussing Planned Parenthood lately. We've seen a whole lot of articles and everything else going in about Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood, and just basically going into the whole concept of it. Now, the biggest part that we want to tackle is not only where Planned Parenthood came from, the whole idea, but everything surrounding it. Forgive me, you guys. I'm also a parent, so my nerves are bad. Hold on.
You're not alone. Okay.
Okay, so, all right, so let's get it in the way. The racists in True Power, they know they can never truly eliminate Black people, okay? At the end of the day, they need us. There is nothing that exists in a day-to-day operation of a Black person that they can handle without us. And that's just how it is at the end of the day. All right, they can't use one of those little GIF videos in their text messages. They can't use an alarm system, nothing without Black people. So I think the concept that they're trying to eliminate the Black race, I think is wrong. My theory is that they are literally doing what we saw in Get Out. They are keeping us around, but they are taking pieces of who we are to duplicate it and just keeping us in a trance state of not paying attention to what the problem really is. All right, so boom. 1916, Margaret Sanger opened a birth control clinic. Now, 9 days later, it was raided and shut down because birth control was illegal in the United States. She and her sisters were charged, and they were arrested for their crimes because, obviously, with it not being legal, they, you know, went to jail. So later on, 1923, she had a legal clinic she opened. It was called the Birth Control Clinical Research Bureau in Manhattan. And that there is where she had birth control devices to help women. She collected statistics about safety and long-term effectiveness of birth control. That same year, she incorporated the American Birth Control League, and then eventually they all came together in 1942 and formed the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. So we fast forward, and we get down to 1948 is when the pill was developed. So Margaret was a nurse. So she already worked in the healthcare industry for many years already. She teamed up with some doctors. They formed the birth control pill. Now, here's a little something I know a lot of people may not know. In 1956, a large testing on women in Puerto Rico was taken without their consent. They weren't even aware that they were on birth control. And these pills were 20 times the amount of hormones that they're in pills today. So after these women suffered so much from these side effects, from having 20 times the amount of hormones that a human should have, they redid the pill, they changed some things about it, and in 1960, the FDA approved the pill, and it was able to be legally distributed everywhere immediately. But even after that, in 1960, there were many states who still banned birth control. So this wasn't a thing. You know, the whole idea of birth control was not a popularized idea, because the whole idea, you know, mixing with religion and culture, it's like if you get pregnant, you were supposed to get pregnant, keep the baby. We need kids in this world. We need to keep the, you know, human race going strong. That was the concept. 7 years later, then that's when we have the big cases that come along. So even before the 1965 is when you had a court case, Supreme Court, that said that women should be able and all people should be able to have their own medical privacy when it comes to their health care procedures. 1972, the Supreme Court struck down a statute that banned distribution of contraceptives to unmarried people. So even then in the 70s, you know, married people couldn't get birth control, and in many states, single people couldn't get birth control. So at the end of these cases, by the mid-1970s, everybody could get birth control no matter if you were married or not. I guess unplanned pregnancies only apply to people who were single, I guess. So moving on from there, that's when you had the Title X. So Title X is a law that was passed. It's for Public Services Act, and it's basically the government having to fund clinics like Planned Parenthood of the sort. It's public funding for family planning, sex education programs. That meant Planned Parenthood and other reproductive health organizations were able to provide birth control. So that's the history of Planned Parenthood. That's just a short insight just early on. There's a lot of history about Planned Parenthood that is not on the internet. There are a couple of documents that I have that are from the Library of Congress. That's in D.C., and it's in the archives. But from here, the question now is, why were they pushing birth control? Because initially, Planned Parenthood was not pushing abortion. They were pushing birth control. I have a pamphlet from their early advertisement that explains that abortion was bad and that it was unsafe to women and that we should practice safe sex beforehand prior to having to make a decision about abortion, which is dangerous, and it was illegal at the time anyway, so nobody could legally get an abortion. So why were they pushing birth control? And who is this woman? Who is Margaret Sanger? So she is a nurse. She has now been associated as a racist and a supporter of eugenics. Now, basically, in the 20s and 30s, the concept of eugenics really was that the fit humans should reproduce with the fit humans and that unfit humans should not produce at all. Now, Margaret Sanger explained in many of her writings, especially in a lot of her letters in the late 20s, early 30s, that her idea of fit and unfit really came from, and the terminology that I'm using was okay back then, so nobody, you know, politically correct police, I know this is not the correct terminology now, but mental retardation. So people who suffered mentally and physically from any type of health issues, she did not believe they should reproduce. She never brought up the idea of black people not being able to make babies, and she tried to do as much as she could to say that. So I was reading different publications that she had written, and she went on and on and on, and she kept reiterating, this is not to eliminate the black race. I am not a eugenic supporter. I just think that the concept of certain people should not be making babies at all, and that's why we're pushing for birth control. You know, if you're impoverished, that's why she put a lot of the clinics in the urban neighborhoods where there were impoverished people, because she believed that if you're already in poverty, you're already suffering, having a child is not going to be in your best interest if you can avoid it from the onset. So eugenic studies had the racist overtone to it and ultimately tried to make the black race the inferior race. And that was the concept. She denied it vehemently and explained that that's not what she was in support of. She wrote a letter in 1939 to black leaders and to black ministers, and she said that she was not trying to eliminate the Negro and that she knew that black leaders and ministers could dispel that the rumor. So the direct quote is, we do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. So she just kept reiterating that she put them in where she put them because of the high-risk pregnancies. There were studies done in the 40s that explained that even studies they have now, black women are more likely to die during childbirth, and black babies are more likely to die at the live birth than white babies and white women. So she felt that her aim, because she, as a nurse, before she opened up her organization, she worked in these types of neighborhoods with black, Hispanic populations. She felt as though that was her time to really focus in on that. Planned Parenthood had an entire documentation just for African-American community. Now, 1966, Martin Luther King, he did a public announcement basically supporting her. He directly said that he is in support of her. He said, there is a striking kinship between our movement and Margaret Sanger's early efforts, had to commit to what was then called a crime, and in order to enrich humanity, and today we honor her courage and vision. So MLK agreed and supported her. So the real question is, when did the black leaders stop supporting Planned Parenthood? When did they stop supporting birth control? Because at the time, abortion was not legal yet. So he was supporting the idea of family planning. Same thing with Malcolm X. Malcolm X supported it. He said that he did not like the idea of it being called birth control. He felt like it should have been called birth planning. He said, or family planning, because he said that black people would rather be, they would rather plan than be controlled. But he said that he didn't see anything wrong with the idea of planning for your pregnancies and knowing when you're going to have a baby, simply because he knew that we were already suffering. We already lived in the worst type of neighborhoods. We were not getting equal education. We're not getting equal education now. You know, kids then and now, 30 kids to a classroom, old books, if they have any books at all to teach their kids. So there was more to it. So then you had people like Norman Rice, Dick Gregory, all interrupting it. They didn't agree with it after Malcolm X and MLK died. So that was it. It was over. At that point, now the idea of black genocide came into play. Abortion was legal after the Roe versus Wade court case. And from there, stuff can take it away from all of the idea of abortion, because now you get into abortion becoming legal, a spike in abortions, and you have more people on government assistance now and more people relying on the system to aid their childbirth.
Beth? Okay. So since we got a little bit of history, it's a lot of information that was processed during this whole entire conversation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get down and sit down with Britt, and we're going to put it into an article, and then we're just going to post it for you guys probably like within a week, because it's a lot. But
Since we're all on the line, somebody brought up a typo queen. You brought up earlier about the fetuses being sold.
Oh, yeah. Fetuses are like, fetuses are used for like cancer research. The stem cell research, and which is done with the fetuses for abortion, and it actually was filmed. A person who was a part, I don't know what type of position they had, so I'm not even going to embellish or lie on that. But essentially it worked for Planned Parenthood, and they were pretty much discussing the negotiation prices of fetuses. So it's been a lot of speculation that Planned Parenthood has alternative motives. It may have started as women's rights for reproductive health, but it now at this point is evolving into something else because the demand for certain things as far as trying to have cancer research and trying to have certain things is not, unfortunately, most of the time it comes from something that you don't want to necessarily deal with or think about, which is an unborn child or, I don't know, elephant tusk. It's always something that's off the wall that they have to research. So that's definitely been a theory of a lot of people. And, of course, with the organ trafficking that we know that has gone on, that's another correlation in which why there's so many abortion clinics in Black communities. Because, I mean, there's impoverished. Poverty isn't, it isn't race bias. So to say that abortion clinics in the impoverished area of Black areas doesn't make sense when there's trailer parks everywhere, there's poverty everywhere. So that means abortion clinics should be everywhere. And so that in itself, I see what she was going with, but at the same time, it's kind of like suspect.
I think it's like it's kind of like how movements start in another country and then it comes to America, a celeb get their hands on it, and then it turns to shit. I think that's literally what happened with Planned Parenthood. When the government can profit from it, I think that's the issue. She had a great idea, you know what I'm saying? But you know, when you got other people that put their hands on stuff and you know that it's a lot of profit in it, then it just, you know, it turns to shit. It's the motive isn't no longer genuine. Now I got a question for y'all. When it comes down to abortions, who should pay for it? And why don't the father have a say?
I mean, I think that the women should pay for it.
Who?
Or the women or the men, whatever in the situation. I don't think that it should be something that should just be paid for by any other entity.
I would say it should be paid by the person who wants it, to be honest with you.
I would say 50-50. Y'all both went in there and laid down. At this point, this isn't 1952. This is 1936. You know exactly what you're doing when you have unprotected sex.
The issue is, though, if let's say the woman's choice, if it's the woman's choice, and she says, I don't want the baby, you need to pay for it. No, you don't want the baby. Who says I don't want the baby? Because maybe I can take care of the baby. Yeah. Doesn't mean that you have to get rid of it. But then again, they say it's their body, so they can do what they want, right?
Here's the thing. Here's the part that I don't agree with. I agree with you, JD, but the part that I don't agree with the whole, when a woman says, well, it's my body, I agree with that. Yes, you have every right to make that decision. However, you have something inside of you that is a foreign body that belongs to that man, and that would be the sperm that caused you to create the embryo, because it's not a fetus yet, the embryo that is inside of you. So
yep.
By that happening, he should still have as much of a say-so as you do, because if his little soldiers wasn't marching, boo-boo, you wouldn't be pregnant. And so if he wants to keep the baby and you want to get rid of it, then that will have to be on you. Unless y'all are married and y'all come to an agreement, it is what it is. But when you are not married and y'all not one, y'all not together or nothing like that, if one wants to have the abortion and the other one doesn't, then fine. I think the same thing when a woman wants to keep the baby and the man says, yo, you knew I didn't want kids, I don't want kids. We can say all we want. Oh, you know the risk when you have unprotected sex. Yeah, nobody wants to have diet sex, okay? None of us like condoms. We use them when we don't trust somebody or we think that we're going to get an STD. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to use those, okay? So herein lies the thing. We both decided to have unprotected sex. All right, it was all crazy. Now I'm pregnant. He doesn't want the baby. He never wanted kids. I knew that. Now I want to keep the baby. Okay, so now the question is, do you make him solely responsible or as responsible as you for a child that he didn't want because conveniently the fetus is growing inside of your uterus?
Stop.
When
hold on, can I go back to the diet
put in there?
You cannot escape past that.
Why the fuck are y'all? Because it's bullshit. Like, condoms are not the only option. So that's the part that kills me with people who are like, nobody wants to use condoms. There is a whole plan B pill, my nigga. A whole plan B pill. You don't have to get to the point of abortion. You don't have to get to the point. There's birth control.
Wait a minute. Okay, so since you said there's plan B, I was actually told that plan B has a weight limit, all right?
It does. I was going to say that. There are options, but by the time you overnight it from a different country or track it down, you will be pregnant. So...
It's 72 hours.
It's not an exact science. It's also not, it's in dosages. So it's a dosage of something. So it is like weight limit appropriate. So it may or may not work. And it's a lot of different factors that go into plan B. If you actually read the back of the label in the packaging, it will tell you so many things you did not know. You can take it and be the exact weight and still get pregnant. It's basically plan B is like this false guarantee that we fall back on, but really mm-hmm. it's not as effective as you want to think.
Exactly.
You might as well pray.
And keep your faith. You might as well. It's a shot in the measure to not get pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, like birth control.
Plan B.
Yeah. Go ahead. Who was talking?
So I'm a pharmacy tech, right? I don't know if y'all still going with it. I'm a pharmacy tech, so I know the statistics as far as like plan B. I'm not saying it's 100% mm-hmm. effective. The same thing with condoms and birth control. Nothing is 100% except for abstaining. But there are measurements
right.
you can take in order to not get an abortion, period. So to me,
right.
I am pro-choice for sure. I don't think any legislative branch, no Supreme Court, no white man should tell, no man should tell a woman at the end of the day what she should do with her body. Cause, and abortion is not black and white. Some people get raped. Some people get molested.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people, they should change it instead of pro-life to pro-fetus. Nobody cares about a kid once it's born. So my whole thing is this, is like, if you're in that situation and you don't want to be, it's not like it was back in the day. You do have options. They may not be 100%, but you're not. But unfortunately, the people who are on those clauses, that's not common. It's not common for plan B just not to work. It's not common for birth control just not to work, or else the statistics will be higher. These are people who are an anomaly. They're different from the statistics. So it's like people try to fit themselves into that bracket when that's not accurate. That's like a, what, 8 in 10 chance type shit, and people are trying to make it seem like it's common. Most bitches lie and say, oh, the birth control didn't work. No, you fucked up and didn't take the pill. You fucked up and didn't do certain things the right way. Most of like, that's usually actually one of the top reasons why birth control fails. Bitch, won't taking it the right way. So at the end of the day, it's like, there really are preventative options. There really are things. Abortion should be the last choice. And, of course, you should include the man in on it because, like she said, that isn't your – yes, it's your body, but it's not your baby. It's not just your baby. It's not just that – that life is a part of someone else.
It's all good until child support comes into play. It's her baby right now with her body. But as soon as that baby come out, now it's our baby because child support is into play. So there is preventative measures out here that you guys can take. And instead of you, because I know it's women that literally will have unprotected sex and their only go-to is an abortion. And to me, that does not make any sense. You're having risky behaviors. You're having sex unprotected, and then you're only first. Okay, you want him to nutting you. All right, cool. Let him nutting you. And the first thing you're doing is talking about, oh, it don't matter. I can go and get an abortion. Why would you even put yourself into that position? And then the thing with abortions is it thins out your uterus. So you can get one abortion, and you might not even be able to ever carry a child again, which I really don't
exactly.
see that
yeah.
as real. Scar
tissue.
And another thing, too, like, I know this lady, she got 13 abortions. Y'all, when I found this shit
mm-mm.
out, I lost my shit. Right, so she got 13 abortions, and now she cannot carry any child. She can't carry a child.
As you shouldn't be able to. You graveyard pussy
right.
bitch. Bitches who get multiple abortions
shouldn't
be able to have kids. I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay, so, Okay, so the thing is, you know, having all them abortions, it doesn't do your body no good. You have, you're wondering why your periods might be horrible, maybe because you probably got an abortion. Later on in life, a lot of the people back in the day, they were able to get abortions, like they was popping out candies, it was crazy because they were in the hood and they were able to go to the clinic and then they would get the abortions and then they would automatically inject them with, you know, contraceptives as far as birth control, which you cannot take birth control after you get rid of a baby. You cannot do that. Your body does not handle it well. And so many issues come. But I don't think people think long-term as far as, oh, if I get an abortion, I'm going to be okay. Like, no, you might not be able to carry babies. You might have just miscarriages. You know what I'm saying? Your baby might just slip out. You feel me? You might get cancer later on down the road. So many things that can go wrong with getting that one abortion, and you're just like, oh, let me just get rid of this baby. Like, having sex is beautiful. Okay, I love having season sex. All right, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm on birth control, so just nut all up in me. You feel me? That like, but I am running a risk. But I don't even have. But I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense to just be out here just having sex all willy nilly, and then you're wondering like, oh my God, now I'm pregnant, now I'm panicking. You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew, y'all know what happens when you have sex. Y'all need to take better preventative actions so you don't end up in them situations. And then you up here wondering and want him to pay for an abortion. That ain't how it works. If you can't afford an abortion, you don't need to be having sex. Okay?
I completely agree. I agree with that.
Period. If you cannot, like, before I'm going to let the secret caller get into her experience with her abortion, I was going to abort my daughter. I was. But when you go and hear that heartbeat, it changes everything. Everybody keeps saying, oh, it got a heartbeat, it's not a baby. I don't give a fuck. If that motherfucker got a heartbeat, and when that heartbeat stops, that motherfucker is dead. All right? So I had a human being in me that I was going to willingly abort. Why? What the fuck am I doing with a baby? I can't even take care of myself. But I kept her. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, but it gets easy. But the point that I'm trying to make is you lay down and you do what you do. You gotta be just as grown to take care of your responsibilities. If you don't want to be that grown, then y'all need to stop having sex without condoms, without birth control, and making up excuses. Now, I'm going to let our secret caller, I got her on the line because I want her to tell her experience with getting an abortion and how it affected her after the fact. So, are you ready, girl?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay, we got tissues. So, if you need some tissues, we got you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you. All
right, go ahead.
I appreciate that. Okay, so basically, it wasn't like it was just a random person. It was my ex-boyfriend. We were on and off for a while, for some years. But I always knew he had kids already, and I always, like, told him, I was very open about the fact that I did not want to have kids with him at any point. And we had broken up, got back together. Well, we broke up, and then we ended up, like, a couple months later going out on a date together, got drunk, went home, blah, blah, blah. So basically, I had still told him, like, it was one of those things where usually I feel like you'll get where girls try to trap guys, but like my ex was open about like wanting to have kids too, and I didn't take him, and then he was not about to get a plan B. He did not care, and even though we were broken up, he still knew like when I was ovulating, when I got my period, all that. So when I told him, he was not surprised. He was like, oh, I know. And so I told him that I did not want to have a child with him. I did consider it, but being that the whole process was extremely difficult and he let me know from the start he was going to be difficult because I did not change my mind about us getting back together, it just didn't seem like something I wanted to do on top of the fact that he does have plenty of other kids. So I just did not want to involve myself in that way. So it was very irresponsible on my behalf. I feel like even though we were both drunk and everything, I just think it was irresponsible because that's not something I thought that I would ever do. But it is a decision that I made, and it's a decision that I don't think a lot of people actually realize, like, that it's a person or that it's a lot of people take it lightly. Like, even every day, it's not something that you just do and then you just, it's just done. You think about it every single day after that. You, like, every time I see a picture of a kid, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you think about, like, your, like, how far you would be, you know, along the process. And so I did take a lot of time to myself afterwards, because more than anything, I don't think people realize, like, people joke about it all the time, like, oh, it's just X amount of money and blah, 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 but it's not something that I feel like I know plenty of people that have had multiple abortions or paid for multiple abortions, and I feel like it's not something, honestly, it's not something that you should do just willingly without weighing out anything, and it's also not something that is, like y'all said, it's not something you use as a form of birth control. It's just not. It's not that lightly. And I feel like people that can do something like that, in general, like, it's not an easy decision. And I don't think anybody should take it lightly. And I feel like people trying to normalize it is not something that should be normalized, because they tell you in the documents you sign, you may not be able to have kids after that. And they don't try to force you to get on birth control or anything, but they do ask you multiple times. They advise you to get on birth control. They let you know the different kinds. They do try to somewhat pressure you into getting it. They don't even encourage abortions at the clinic when you go. They will, they actually have, like, when you find out you're pregnant, I don't know if maybe it's just my doctor's office or in general. I mean, some girls I know say they have had it too, but they give you, like, a counseling session, basically, where they just see exactly where your head is at. They ask you how you got pregnant and what do you plan on doing, and they never, ever, ever actually, like, they will give you the information about abortions, but that is the last resort. They do not. They will push adoption. There's different forms of adoption that will offer you. They really do riot outside of Planned Parenthood. There was a lady that stopped, and my like ex-boyfriend was, I mean, he was supportive because I think he thought that that would get him somewhere, but he was definitely not, he did not want me to get one at all. But there's people that stand outside, and they will try to encourage you. They will tell you that they will give you money if you need it, just, like, to have a baby. They will help you with adopting. They give you all types of pamphlets. They will give you their phone number. They will get you in touch with doctors. They do all of that. They do everything possible, even inside the clinic. They will ask you if you want to hear a heartbeat so that it can discourage you from getting an abortion. In my personal experience, when I did look on the screen, I bust out in tears because, like I said, it's not something that I ever thought I was going to do. That's just not, like, nobody, it's something you say you would or wouldn't do until you're in that position. And then everybody is not cut out to be a mother, and I felt like at the time I was not. So they will ask you. They really don't encourage you to do it at all. The particular, and then they have, like, a group of people that are in there with you, which is super awkward because they're talking to you about normal stuff while you're getting it done. But they do have an excellent staff as far as, and, I mean, I don't live in a bad area at all, so maybe that's why I didn't have a horrible experience. But I've gone with people that didn't have insurance or people that haven't been able to afford it and seen some of the clinics. And I guess maybe it's funding or maybe it's the area, but seeing some of those places and seeing some of the different people that are in those places is just, I mean, it is, it goes back to what was being discussed before about the location of them and the demographics of people that are in there. And it's just, there are different cases of, you know, it's not black and white like y'all said, but it's not necessarily – majority of the people that are in there are people that were just irresponsible. So in light of all that, I definitely – I did not get back on birth control because when I did get on birth control, it was a horrible experience, but I do definitely take sex more seriously now, and I don't have sex with anybody I would not consider having a child with because that's not something I'll ever do again. And I mean, I'm pretty open about everything with my family and my friends and stuff because I just don't want anybody else. That's nothing I would never, ever, ever tell anybody to get one. I'm not saying I'm against it because it is your choice, and obviously that would make me a hypocrite, but it's just not something that I don't think psychologically people tell you exactly how difficult it is or the effects. Or they tell you, but you just think like, oh, okay, you'll be fine. But it's not something you just get over.
That's what I used to think when I wondered what girls could do it back to back to back. Like, well, my son, I wanted to get one, but when I found out I was 3 months pregnant and they gave me a vaginal ultrasound and I could see him moving his hands and I was like, I cannot get rid of this person. This
well, and that's
person.
Another thing. They make you wait. They make you wait a really good bit of time before they will even give you an ultrasound. It's, well, where I live, it's not something that they really, honestly, they let you have the option, yes, but it's, you can tell it's not something that, and they tell you, you know, you have to sign off on paperwork. Like, you can die from it. You can get infections. It can lead to you getting cancer or to you not being fertile anymore or not being able to carry babies. I know a girl that had 5 abortions, and she just had a daughter last year. So it's
yeah,
not,
it's different for everybody's body.
Yeah, it's definitely not something that is an exact science. And then they have different options as well, but the one that's by pill is you can bleed out. You can bleed for an extremely long time. It can fail, and then you could not end up, like, your abortion can fail, and then they'll have to go in and do it either surgically or the regular way. Depending on how long it is, you might have to be admitted to the hospital, depending on how much time, because people don't know at first sometimes. So it's just, it's really hard on your body. It's just something that I would not recommend anybody put themselves through at all. So like y'all said, like there's preventative measures, there's precautions you can take. There's literally so much shit out there that you don't have to get pregnant if you don't want to get pregnant. I don't believe at this point in anybody's lives that it's an honest mistake. 9 times out of 10, it's not. We are all smart enough to pick up our phones and research stuff or get on the computer and research stuff, and there's options for everybody before it gets to that point, I feel like. And when y'all were talking about, like, the amount of it and everything, well, who pays and stuff, I personally didn't pay for mine. Like I said, with my ex-boyfriend, he just felt like, okay, if this is something she wants, I'll just get her pregnant later. I didn't pay for mine, even though he didn't agree with it. But it was a lot of stuff between us that I just felt like he just felt like he owed it to me, whatever I wanted. Because, I mean, I don't know, but that's just me personally. I mean, and he didn't want me to get it, but he, like y'all said, like the whole your body thing is not like he was going to force me to have a child. And
child
most men are
anyway
not going to.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Well, and it's just,
what'd you say?
Most men are not going to get.
Before he made a decision.
Oh, my goodness. In his head, he was already planning the baby shower and everything. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think in my experience I didn't have where I was having a child with somebody that didn't want to necessarily have a child. So I didn't really have a negative experience in that way. It was actually really difficult to get him to finally just be like, okay, fuck it. Because he was making every excuse and he was at my appointments and stuff. He took me to my appointments and everything. But, like, he didn't want to go in, and he didn't want to see the ultrasound if I wasn't going to keep the baby and stuff like that. He was really hurt by it. I think I think that's something also that nobody takes into account is how men feel about it. Like, men that actually do want the baby, like, I don't think people actually take that into account much. I mean, and it's not something we really discussed because, like I said, my decision was pretty final. So, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of things. Go ahead.
How far along were you?
I want to say I was right at almost 2 months. I'm not sure. Let's see. Yeah, I was about to be 2 months, or yeah, about 2 months.
That is a lot.
Well, I definitely, I agree to an extent. So I work in the healthcare field for the Navy. I'm a hospital corpsman. My degree is in health and wellness. So I think that sometimes some people don't like birth control. I know personally I've had a couple patients. They don't really like birth control because birth control can cause all the same things abortion and Plan B can cause. You can get blood clots later. You can get cancer. You can have liver problems. As when you're taking any type of pills, you can have liver problems down the line. Yes, infertility problems. Anything that's going to stop your body from its natural process, so it builds up your mucus, your membranes to keep the sperm from penetrating, getting to your ovaries, preventing you from ovulating in general. So it's a lot that goes along with it, but at the same time, typically, morally, somebody who is against birth control, they're not going to have an abortion. But that's just, I mean, that's just a theory. I can't necessarily speak directly towards it. But I definitely agree that there's a lot of other ways that you can take to avoid getting pregnant, and one is just to not have sex.
My other question is, though, for everybody that's always talked about abortions and whatever, right, why does nobody ever talk about adoption either? Because with all the people that cannot have sex or not have sex but not have kids, and there's a lot of women that want to have kids, that can't have kids, and that would like to adopt kids or whatever it has to be, so why is that the first thing that we think of is an abortion before we even think about how you can put the kid for adoption?
Well, it's two things. Because, one, for on one side, you have a lot of kids that are in the system already. And it's not always as easy as just going on the internet and Googling people who want to adopt. Because a lot of those people, they already know the person. A lot of times, they already know who those people are. They pay them a certain X amount of money. And so that process is very tedious, very long, and it's not guaranteed. So a lot of times, your kid will end up in the system. And your kids going into the foster system, they would have done better. I'm not going to say all kids in the foster system do better being aborted, but I will say a lot of kids go through a lot of unnecessary things. A human should never have to go through. So that's the first thing. And then the second concept is that the concept of adoption is difficult mentally, and it's going to be difficult mentally because you're literally carrying a baby that you created irresponsibly because you did not plan it. It was not a planned pregnancy or whatever may have happened. You got pregnant, and now you have to decide, okay, I'm going to carry this baby. You form a bond with the baby. Now, I've been pregnant twice, so I'm going to say you form a crazy bond with the child before they even get here because they are literally a part of who you are. A baby keeps the mother's DNA even 12 months after it's born. Okay, so everything about this child is you. This is your child. You cannot talk to the child, but you feel them, you know them, they're here. It's a mental thing. It really messes with you. And I haven't looked at a statistic lately, but at one point there was a type of connection that goes along with people who change their mind when it is time for the actual adoption process. And they have every right to change their mind, actually. And
it's
legal. You can't
keep
people from doing that. And it's legal.
Yep.
So there's a lot of other things that go along with deciding to do that because you're literally carrying a baby that was created from you and somebody else to give to somebody else rather than you just being somebody's surrogate. So I think that's where another divide is, too. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Adoption is one of those things, too, that's not black and white. And they tell the people who sign up and they want to get, you know, a baby through adoption, they tell them the mother does have the opportunity to change their mind. And a lot of times that is what happens, is where they will hold the baby and they will see their baby and they change their mind. And that's completely fine. That's completely legal. Now you have to deal with you losing out on not just the money that you put towards that, but you are thinking you're going to bring a child into your family and somebody that didn't even want this baby changed their mind, and they took that from you. There's a lot of psychological damage left, too, with families like that, too, and where they'll take care of the girl and they'll do stuff for them while they're pregnant, and that you can literally change your mind. And, I mean, you can't really get mad at them because you don't know. You're literally, like you said, making a connection with this person inside of you for all those months. It would be hard for anybody that has any type of empathy to just give that person away.
I was going to say one last thing because I know we're about to get to a close, which I don't think people promote enough because they feel like it's not possible, but I do think we need to get to a point in society, especially in a social construct, to make that, put it back on like a platform in which it's beyond just a casual thing. It's beyond because you're bored. It's beyond because you like this boy and you just want to give him some so he stays around. It's okay to abstain. It is okay. Like, I'm literally probably one of the horniest women on this planet, and if I can go without sex, you can. Like, you're not going to die because there's so many risks. And just like what, I don't know what your name was, old girl who told her story was, where she said, I'm not going to lay with somebody who I don't see myself having a child with. That prevents so much complications. You don't have to worry about birth control, plan B, abortion. If you really just sit down and look at it as your body, as your temple, and this act, this fun little act that you're about to do, this good time, this good feeling could result in a person you have to take care of, a person who need not only take care of in a sense of physically taking care of them and financially, but psychologically. People don't realize how psychologically damaging parents are when they don't want to have a child and they do. You take that out on your kids even if you don't mean to.
Yep.
You become verbally abusive
even
if you don't mean to. You become, you do what your parents did because 9 times out of 10, they didn't want you. Most people don't come from a necessary family where they actually planned a child, especially if you're in an impoverished area. So at this point,
a study was just done that more than half of the births were unplanned, by the way. That half the births in the United States as of right now were unplanned.
So
that is something that when I grew up, my mom said that all the time, like it was normal. She told me all the time she wished she would have had an abortion. And so I thought to myself, like, naturally how I thought was I would never want to feel like that, to the point where I would tell my child that. I would never want my child to feel like they weren't wanted. And so, like, I just felt like overall – I never, ever, because you can never say, oh, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not, because, I mean, I thought, okay, this is the position I'm in, and I never thought I would be in that position. I would never, ever want to feel that way about a person that I made, and that was a big thing to me, and it's not like I don't have a supportive family and everything, but I feel like if I can't take care of my child by myself, and I can't do everything by myself, even though I did have a quote-unquote supportive baby daddy, I don't feel
it's not
like,
their responsibility, like, as far as
exactly.
family. A lot of people
at the
think
end of the day,
it's not. Don't
yeah.
know how you shit and if
my,
you decided to have a baby.
Right. And my parents, it was not something, I mean, it's always been there where I felt like, okay, yeah, if I need something, I can go to my parents. And I know I could have, but it's just something that I felt like I need to do this by myself. This is all by myself because I'm had sex with this person and we had sex and it's ours. Is now this is what we need to deal with. It's not anybody else's responsibility but ours, regardless of what decision we make or come to. And I just think people are irresponsible. We just have this YOLO mentality. I mean, and I joke about it. I think we all do to some extent, but if that is completely true, we all need to be more mindful whenever it comes to this carefree lifestyle because it has consequences. And I don't think people care because they feel like they can take a pill for something or get a shot or get an abortion or deal with it. Like,
or live with
they
HIV.
Don't take anything
like, no,
serious.
Nobody
yeah,
anything
people
anymore.
Don't
everything's
take stuff like that. Yes, people don't take it serious because they feel like they're invincible. Because of modern medicine and modern science, people have this make-believe thing where they feel like they are literally, and even if you do have HIV, you can get cancer and all types of other stuff just from having, you're going to die one way or another regardless. And people fail to actually be able to grasp that concept. Like, we are not immortal. We cannot live forever. And people have gotten this mentality where they don't because they just feel like, I don't even know where that mentality came from. I think a lot of it is from social media where people see different lifestyles.
I do. And yeah, absolutely. We're all open and free now. Like, not just that. Technology has made it to a point. Now my great-grandmother has 17 kids. I'm 2,000% sure she wouldn't have as many kids if she had the opportunities we had in which we could have carefree sex. But at the end of the day, I don't think people make this joke about condoms. Like, even me, I'm not going to lie. I hate them. I agree with you guys 110%. They suck. But the same way you look at a condom, look at a person that way. You have to raise a person. So if you're not willing to have condom sex, maybe you should look at it like, maybe we shouldn't be having sex right now because we could potentially make a child. And at the end of the day, I feel as though, even though there's so many people who say they're pro-life, children are the number one most neglected group of people on this earth. That isn't race bias. That's just factual. People all scream and cry about how they're neglected, but children are the number one neglected and unheard people on this earth. So, and that's why I am pro-choice. I'd rather you get rid of it than raise somebody and abuse them. So many kids come up missing. They get molested. They get murdered. They get beat to death. So many women come home. My aunt used to come home and beat my cousin because she had a bad day at work. Nobody told you you had them kids, okay? And there's so many women who are like that, and so many people don't even factor in the psychological damage of not only abortion but pregnancy. Your hormones go crazy. You legit are psychologically unstable at certain points. And after you have the child, so it's like, do you really want to go through all that, or do you want to put this condom on, or do you just not want to do it at all?
And I'm allergic to latex, and I have condoms, and a lot of times guys will think, like, oh, you don't have to use a condom then, and that, like, right there will get you just dubbed. I'm not even going to fuck you at that point, because this is your mindset. Like, no. I just think people are crazy. People are so crazy. I don't think sex is worth it majority of the time.
Definitely.
You ain't
even
never lied, because
sometimes
it ain't even having sex, sometimes ain't even worth it. And then I have sex that's not worth it, and then to get pregnant, it's like, damn. Like, how much more can you fuck me up? Like, yeah, it's not. Like, if y'all, like I said earlier, if neither one of y'all can afford an abortion, y'all don't need to be having sex. And I think that's very minimal, because you end up keeping that baby. A baby, those things are expensive, okay? Some motherfuckers are high as shit. This shit more than Fendi, Gucci, Prada, all that, all right? If you cannot afford whatever the price is, it's like $300 to $1,000 possibly for an abortion to get rid of it, then y'all don't need to do anything. Me personally, I don't want no babies killed. And that's only coming from me because I heard my baby heartbeat and I was going to kill her little ass, but I kept her. I'm soft like that, okay? I like seeing little babies. But in reality, if you can't take care of the baby right, if you can't afford it or whatever the case may be, and then you get in on public assistance and having to literally live on public assistance, and you keep it was literally this one girl, it was this girl, this video, it always surfaced, and it might surface again after we talk about this. She literally was just having babies because she was on the system, and the system paid for it. That's a problem. That's a problem. You don't even want these kids, but because you don't want to go out there and get a job and work and take care of them like you're supposed to, you're going to keep popping them out and use the system for it. That don't make no sense to me. Them, like I said, them things are expensive. Them things stress you out. Them things get sick and they stink, okay? And
but
she just popping them out like it's, huh?
But you got to think about it, too. That's because of the mental mentality or mental health as well, because at that point,
okay,
there's something wrong. Because they don't have a conscience at all. Because they don't care about anything living except for themselves.
Well, a lot of it they learn it from their parents, because if they're in them types of areas, that's what they learn. That's what they think is how you get by. Because I have a cousin that stayed on the system for years. She had kids, wouldn't get off the system for nothing. You know what I'm saying? But she finally got a job after her kids was like grown. I'm just like, okay.
What the fuck?
Real quick, I'm gonna just say like a couple things. One, I think that, you know, there are some people, and I'm pro-choice. I do think there are some health implications in everything that you do, but there are some people that really do have worse mental health, who carry their babies to full term, who don't want to have kids, than people who have abortions. And there was a whole study done on it,
recently, and nobody ever thinks about the implication of women who go through mentally when they have to carry a child that they don't want. I don't think that it's a concept of not having a conscience or not having a heart. I think a lot of it is, it's the same thing, a concept in life that we have with a lot of things that we go through. Sometimes we literally go through the same thing all the time. Think about that one thing, that one test you keep getting in your life that you keep having, you haven't learned your lesson yet. And so some people, that's the one thing. I'm protecting sex. Being irresponsible, making irresponsible decisions. So that's something that just constantly harps on them. And I think that people that have constant abortions, they suffer way more than not being able to carry kids. There is definitely a mental implication in there. So I'm not going to say they don't have a conscience, but I'm just going to say at the end of the day, like, first of all, statistically, abortions have gone down. But still, black women are 35% of the abortions that happen in this country. And black women are more likely to have unplanned pregnancy, if anything. And women who don't have education, don't make a certain amount of money, who live in poverty, are more likely to get pregnant and have unplanned pregnancies simply because of where they are, what is promulgated, and what is advertised. The vice president, one of the vice presidents for Planned Parenthood is a black woman. She's a doctor, and she wants us to focus more on birth control. But Planned Parenthood is going to treat a lot of abortion because that's all everybody uses Planned Parenthood for. If you learn the other resources that they offer you, you won't have to worry about that. But at the end of the day, that's because we don't know, we don't take those precautions, that's why we think that abortion is the only option. There, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know you can get STDs through giving head. You can suck somebody's dick and you can still get gonorrhea.
You get hepatitis, gonorrhea, HIV, herpes,
you get, yes,
all that.
You can still,
people giggle when you mention condoms and head. People forget that dental dam is a thing. That we as kids, I remember hearing about that. But people forget it's a thing, that eating pussy just had people just be eating everybody pussy. The shit's not safe.
The real genocide is not, black women going to get abortions. The real genocide is really not educating people, on stuff. And the health classes don't help because they got people who are not even qualified in the healthcare field teaching people stuff about their bodies. So at the end of the day, the real issue is education. If we focus more on educating, and that's the reason why abortions went down, that's the reason why unplanned pregnancies have gone down. It's 20%. Simply because people have more access to information. They just don't know how to access it right. And you can call them stupid. We can say whatever we want about them, but it's happening. So the best thing to do is to educate people about it so they understand risk and know what the heck is going on. Because if somebody's just going to advertise abortion, guess what? Advertising does everything in our whole life, what we wear, how we eat, everything. So if that's the thing that's being advertised, that's what people are going to go with. That's what they're going to think about. They're not going to think about the other stuff. They're going to think about what's advertised to them subliminally all the time. So I just think that the biggest thing to consider the fact is that at the end of the day, I don't think that that should be your only option. That should be a last resort, like Typho Queen said. But all in all, I don't think that it's necessarily wrong. Even if you had two or three, you just need to learn your damn lesson, though. And then, you know, I ain't going to say there should be restrictions on it, but you know what? There needs to be some other type of education to get to that point so people don't feel like that's their only option, because sometimes that's all you got.
And
if you
I don't understand what.
And you supporting your family, you don't know that.
But I don't understand the stigma saying from a Planned Parenthood is only like an abortion factory. Planned Parenthood will help you with free STD testing, birth control, education. Planned Parenthood is actually, when it boils down to it, a very good program. But unfortunately, like you said, the abortion stigma and the tabloids that are associated with abortions is what sticks with people. And granted, abortion, like I said once, abortion is not a black and white thing. People get raped. There's incest. There's times when if you carry the baby full term, you could die, the baby could die. There's times when your baby has some type of disorder and they're not going to live to see three and you have to come up with that decision. It's not black and white. So that's why I say I'm not pro-life. I think that's just extreme as shit. Like, you're really going to make every single person who gets pregnant have a child, because in your mind you feel like, I don't know, you have some type of conscience with it. But in all actuality, this world is really fucked up. It's a really dark place. So if you don't have the means and the mental health to protect your child from this world,
find
don't
another
have it.
Fucking hobby instead
it's,
of fucking.
It's
that's all.
Look, and love
yeah,
me.
Yeah, go work
you
out.
And sex is like a drug. Like, honestly, I could say, like, I believe a lot of people in the stigma from being in an impoverished area comes from you don't love yourself. What feels good? Sex.
Actually,
what do you want to do?
Actually,
sex?
Actually, it can be categorized as a drug because when you're having an orgasm, you release serotonin in your brain, and that is the same thing you release when you fall in love, when you take drugs and any type of adrenaline. Yes, that could be considered a drug. You release the same thing in your brain when you eat sugar, which is also considered a drug these days. So, yes, that is absolutely true. Sex can be a drug, but I think it's only when the sex is good because, you know, you ain't having an orgasm if sex is not good, but, you know.
There's that. Some women just want to feel, like, loved almost. It's like, that's why girls will lay down with a boy and have trash sex with him just because they want somebody to be with. They want to feel good. And men, the same thing. I've known dudes who keep going back to the same girl knowing they're not satisfied, but they want to feel something. So at the end of the day, not only is it important to educate, we have to establish that self-esteem and self-love back into our community, and especially in the youth, because these young kids would be out here humping and doing everything if they actually respected themselves. If girls really looked at their body as a temple again, and men as well, it wouldn't be as much casual stuff going on, because even though abortions are going down, the STDs are through the roof. Yeah, clearly somebody, everybody making the stigma about condoms being terrible, but, I mean, I guess y'all really believe that because everybody's burning. Everybody. So it's like at the end of the day, if you really boil down to it and look at it as you don't deserve me type stuff or this bitch don't deserve me, you'll make better decisions. It's just easier said than done when you're in a dark place or you're lonely or that's all you know is to have sex. I'm sad. I'm going to go have sex. So it's like
that's
you really got to look at it as bigger than just that. What'd you
protect
say?
Your uterus.
Girl, there were that actually got. I'm sorry.
No, what did somebody say?
Did you?
Did,
I said, did you? Did we? I was like, we got to actually be real with it. Like, it's easier said
like,
than done.
Protect
we're
your
young,
uterus. Protect your mental stupid. Health. Y'all sit on the app all day talking about mental health. All right, let's not do things to trigger anything that's gonna fuck up your mental health. It's like. They said be responsible, but y'all don't want to be responsible. Y'all want to have your cake and y'all want to eat it too, and then y'all want to stretch to us. I don't want to fucking hear it. Period. Y'all are grown. Y'all grown enough to make decisions that are right. Y'all grown enough to make decisions that are wrong. Y'all, especially women, have intuitions and they have gut feelings better than men, but y'all still fuck up. All right. So like I said, protect your uterus, protect your mental health. Stop fucking people that you don't want to have kids with. And that's just it. Like, casual sex is fun, but be smart about it. Don't be stupid. Don't be having raw sex with everybody you come in contact with. Now you on your third kid and you stressing out because you're not getting child support. All that shit could have been avoided. All right? All of it. So, what were you saying, Britt?
No, I was going to say that actually there have been states since the 90s that were getting kickbacks actually for lowering out-of-wedlock births. They were getting $0.4 billion. Five states had gotten $0.4 billion because the measures that they took there reduced the number of out-of-wedlock births and decreased the abortion ratios. So I will say that it's been a debate in Congress, it's been a debate in government since the 90s, talking about welfare reform. And welfare reform, when that happened, the whole idea, they knew that it was going to increase abortions. They knew that if they were to reform the way health welfare went as we knew it, then that would increase women going to get abortions. And their idea was, well, we'll take a hit here, and the abortions will increase here, but it will decrease later, which technically it did. It spiked first in the 70s, went down, spiked back up in the 90s, and it's gone down. So, I mean, abortion is at the lowest that it ever was. Abortion was actually higher in the 70s when they first made it illegal. So I will say that as time going, you get more educated, but I will say you're more likely to have an unplanned pregnancy or you're more likely to go and run to abortion when you're not about your stuff, when you're not working and investing in your career, your education, you're not trying to get a better living arrangement. You'll be more likely to end up on government assistance, which they're trying to take away. So if you just think about the concept, the whole point is to keep us in poverty. It's to keep us in a cycle of being impoverished and the whole point of us being slaves. That's the whole thing right then and there. If they give you abortion, you're going to abort, but you're going to still be having sex. If you keep the baby, then you're going to end up on welfare. That's the whole thing. That's what it's supposed to do. Put us on government assistance, then they're going to take the government assistance away. They're trying to take Planned Parenthood away, and y'all letting these fake woke people tell y'all they should. But if they take Planned Parenthood away, guess what? A lot of these neighborhoods, a lot of rural areas will not have good health care, good health education coverage, anything
for black women or Hispanic women in these neighborhoods. And even in, like Typo Queen said, some of these rural areas with the trailers and stuff, it's not just about black and white Hispanic. It's also about some of these impoverished white people. They do the same thing. If you want to do real change, the whole idea is to start really investing in educating people about more than just sex. Not just sex. Educate people about their bodies. Educate people about what they put in their bodies, period. If you start doing that, then you'll avoid a whole lot of other problems, and this will be one of the things that you can avoid. Period.
And so kids are hard, y'all. They're really, really hard. I just want to let you guys know, all you young people, because I feel like a lot of really, really young people listen. When I say young, I mean 18 to, like, 23. I feel like that's a decent amount of our audience. They're hard, y'all. Like, I cry in my car sometimes because it's very difficult being a single parent. Don't let any bitch talking about some dang on public housing let you think that that's worth having a bastard child. It's not. They deserve both parents. They deserve to see you happy. They deserve to see you loved. They deserve to see their daddy loved. So don't do it. Just don't. It's not worth that nut. It's not worth it.
I'm telling you, y'all better listen. My daughter asks me all the time if I'm happy. My 6-year-old asks me if I'm happy.
My kids are asking me too.
It's the cutest thing ever. Like, she'll be like, "Mommy, are you happy today?" And I'm just like, "Well, damn, thanks for asking. Yes, I am. Now I'm happy." You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like kids know your moves and stuff like that. Like, you know, sometimes you do need a little person to pick you up. All right, but you know, like she said, like, stop. Y'all don't need these kids if y'all not gonna take care of them. At all. I was going to say something, but I forgot. My mind just running like a thousand miles per hour. But go ahead.
The other thing, too, is a lot of people need to, like, you're going to be on social media all day and be taking off on these topics and shit like that. Don't go off of what other people say. Do your own research as well, because what a lot of people always do is they always go off of, well, I heard so-and-so say, and this is how so-and-so said it goes. No, do your own research. Do your own everything. Look, stuff says all the time. Open Google. Google has everything on that motherfucker.
Not Wikipedia. Not Wikipedia, y'all. Stop using Wikipedia as a reliable source.
How about this? How about y'all pick up a book? Pick up a book.
Read. Make reading cool again.
I was getting there. I was getting to the book. But anyway, yeah, pick up a book too. Because what happens is a lot of people go on social media, they look at social media and they look at what other people are saying. If it's the same thing as they're saying or they're like-minded, they believe it's true because somebody else said it and they believe the same thing that the other person said. No, you actually need to go and actually open up a book because that's what people don't do no more. Nobody fucking reads anymore unless it's on social media. It only has to be, what, 125 characters? Like, pick up a goddamn book that actually educates you. But that's just my rant.
Nobody wants to read, but you know what they say? They say if you want a high information, put it in a book, and you know who that's, you know, in reference to. And it's so much groupthink on Twitter. It's like, all right, I'm going to just go with what somebody say. But it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, it do sound good. I'm not going to lie. Like, some of the information sound really good. But sometimes you really got to fact check. You got to actually research. It's like when Britt brought up the facts on them testing out birth control on the Puerto Rican
women.
I was like, wait a minute. I mean, this sounds good for the podcast, but let me go fact check this real quick. Like, I don't question her stuff, but I really need to go fact check that because that I never knew. That didn't make no sense. I just didn't know that they went and, you know, attacked Puerto Ricans like that, because I know they did it with black men with the syphilis project, the Tuskegee syphilis project. I knew that they did that, but I didn't know that they, you know, they went and did Hispanics. Like, they use minority as lab rats, all right? They'll never practice this shit on their own, all right? That's probably why they going through shit now with the opioid crisis with, you know, heroin and all that shit, meth, and now they losing their shit because, you know, white people, their precious supply is about to die off because they drug it. But like I was saying, sometimes a lot of information that we get, it sounds good. You got to fact check it. Just because somebody on Twitter say something don't mean that it's actually accurate. And then them blue checkers on Twitter, they the worst. They the worst out of everybody. They post information and they're minions. They follow it and the shit don't make sense.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you can sell it to make it sound good, it makes sense. But if you don't take the time out to research, like, we all have smartphones. We all have the opportunity to Google. It does not take that much effort to Google keywords and to see what is going on and, you know, and to read and research. But people don't do that because it's so much easier to run with a false narrative instead of doing research. Like I said, if you don't want nobody to find out information, put it in a book. Y'all niggas don't read. Y'all don't know how to read. So, you know,
I will provide all of my sources.
Tell y'all information.
Huh? I can provide all of my sources. Everything I do is through, I don't get my stuff off of blogs. I open up books. I do go on the internet, and I also utilize my school's library, and I open up different types of abstracts and all of those publications that have come out. I always research old stuff because that's why I don't pay attention to these social media woke people, because they don't do real research. They come up, they hear one little concept, and then they have these crackpot theories. And when I see stuff, it makes me angry because it takes away, because I'm very passionate about the healthcare industry. So to me, it takes away from the ability to educate our people, because you have people literally saying, oh, Planned Parenthood is XYZ, XYZ. And while some of it may have truth to it, think about this concept. The white congressmen were against birth control, and our black activists were for birth control. And then all of a sudden, our black activists are assassinated, and now everybody's against Planned Parenthood. But nobody wants to look into the history of it. Nobody wants to figure out that maybe there's something to this. They don't want us to plan our babies. They don't want us to know when we're having kids. We're supposed to stay broke and poor and uneducated, and then we turn around, come up with these crack pipe theories, and we fight the wrong fight. See, we're fighting about whether or not people should be getting birth control and whether or not, you know, we should be using condoms. And we're not worried about the fact that our kids should already be educated on this without having to go on Google and Twitter to learn things. If we're getting them proper education in our schools, guess what's going to happen? They're going to make better decisions. But they can't make better decisions because their parents are not educated, because their grandmom is 32 and their mom is 17. And they're half their mom's age. So everybody is having this cycle of having teen pregnancies and young unplanned pregnancies, and the mom and the grandmom is almost the same damn age. Like, it's crazy. Educate yourself. Read. Don't just come up with – here's the thing. A hypothesis is a question you pose when you have an idea. A theory is based off of research. You don't have a theory if you didn't do research. Going and picking up blog posts and looking at random stuff on Yahoo is not research, people. Do research. Literally, go open up an encyclopedia. Okay, go into a library. They still have them. I know in the cities they close them down. Go to the suburbs, boo-boo. They still have libraries in the white neighborhoods. Go open up a book and read something. Okay? Because there's something to the concept. Clearly, whenever they refute something that we are endorsing, that means that we're onto something. And then all of a sudden, now it's bad and it's XYZ. The real black genocide is in a lack of education. It's in poverty. That's how we stay impoverished, by not being educated. We will perish for the lack of knowledge.
This is my last thing I got to say on it. One, learn to make yourself cum kitties. I haven't been getting any dick for quite some time now, but I've had the best orgasms of my life. Like, no niggas ever made me come this way, because I'm learning myself. Learn to make yourself come, one. And two, birth control, abortion, those should be options to me, but they should be almost a last resort, because the results that it happens, they both have risks. When naturally, you can figure out your regimen of how to control your birth. Naturally, you can follow your ovulation path. There's natural things you really can do. So learn your body. Like she said, read. I be fucking the library up. People are like, you're so smart. You are so – no, I just read. It's free. It's free as fuck.
You're so
read.
Smart. I'm so stupid. I don't go to those lives.
Since I've been a mom, I really don't – I don't indulge in a whole lot of sex these days. Like, I used to get that thing popping, but I really don't do that anymore, and I completely agree with you. Literally, I could be talking to a dude – and me and him could be just kicking it for a while, and I'd be like, oh, no, we can't sex. I'm ovulating. Sorry, boo. Because I'm not with the birth control, because I hate the way it makes me feel. I've tried four different birth controls. Matter of fact, when I got – okay, baby, you're not talking on the phone. Watch out. As a matter of fact,
when I got pregnant with my son, I was changing birth control. So it was completely my fault because I shouldn't have been having sex knowing that I wasn't really on a birth control and I was just starting a new round of it. But the point is that, you, like she said, learn your own cycle. You know every 21 days. Some women it's every 30 days. Some every 35 days. You got to know when you ovulate, and when you find that out, then you act accordingly. Guess what? If you have sex during your period, ladies, you can still get pregnant. Guess why? Because the egg sits on the walls of your uterus until all of it has shed out. You don't know when that egg is going to drop. So just have sex in between ovulation periods, and you'll be fine. Right after your period is probably the best time to have unprotected sex because you've already ovulated and the egg has already been released from your ovaries and shed it out of your uterine wall. You're welcome.
I'm the most fertile a week after my period.
I was going to say,
Honestly,
you can get pregnant before, during, after. It really doesn't matter. Don't take the risk.
A lot of times, though, doctors say, I've said, and what I've read in my classes was that if you find that you got pregnant around the time right after a period, you were probably already pregnant, and the impregnation started at the point right before your period. You were already going to have your period anyway. So a lot of people think that it was right after the period, but it was, like I said, when you ovulate, the egg comes out of your ovary, and it sits in your uterus for however long.
So just so you know, I got pregnant right after my period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
I literally got pregnant right after my period. To the point that doctors put my pregnancy a month back, but it couldn't have. It was literally I hadn't been having sex. I got pregnant right after my period. And they were like, no, you got pregnant in January. I'm like, no, I got pregnant. I know exactly when I start fucking because I track it.
Oh, they good for arguing with you.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They're like, no, you got pregnant in January.
Before my period.
So I guess it's good for everybody. In case anyone is slow, there are apps for that. They have the Flow app. They have period tracker app.
They have P tracker.
They tell you when you can ovulate. It helps you just try to track it if you just don't have that sense to keep up with it.
There are certain foods that'll actually...
JD, when you be ovulating?
Bro, look,
I'm a
beast.
Bro. Y'all don't forget that people can get pregnant off of pre-nut, and you pre-nut the whole time.
Wait,
like,
thank you. Hold on.
Wait, I need one of y'all to talk that a minute.
You said what?
I need her to say it again. Typo Queen, say it again. Say it louder for the peanut gallery.
You can get pregnant off of pre-nut. That nigga, when that nigga wet, that tip of that dick is wet before you touch it,
that's
a baby. That's a potential baby. So please stop thinking that because a nigga pulls out, you can't get knocked up. Don't let these dumb, uneducated, dumb fucks knock you up because they don't know about their bodies.
Hey, I'm
exactly. They like it's low sperm count in there. No.
No,
the
pull out
method
that's
don't
like
work. If it's wet,
that's like seven
out.
Children. What'd you say?
Look, that's your children right now. Look, we got pull out method babies. We got pre cum babies. Like,
look,
I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I got
pregnant. Your sperm is weak, JD. Go get checked.
Ooh. She's smoked, so I mean.
JD,
what just happened?
JD trying to promote pull out and pray.
Say he ain't got no swimmers.
Basically,
my pull out game is amazing. Okay.
That's it. Wait, hold on real quick. I'm not really processing
how you have a good pull out game and you be drinking like that. Like your pull out game is horrible. So either
alcohol and tobacco limits his sperm count.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Or his sperm count is non-existent.
Alcohol and tobacco are limiting your sperm count.
So what? What about the times before I even started drinking and smoking?
Nigga, you were limiting.
Listen,
you're limiting. What if you had a low sperm count
in the first
place?
Your shit just
don't
work.
She may not have been ovulating.
That too.
And JD, you really could just have a low sperm count. You know, only one nut might work.
It is.
So.
What branch of the military are you in, JD?
Army.
Oh, see, there it is.
See?
Why everybody gazing up on JB?
See, man,
you marching, but your soldier's not, bro. Telling you, everybody get that checked out.
Not lucky.
That's that army syndrome. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, y'all not making them shots.
No, my brother's in the army and he's fertile as fuck. So,
or there's also food you can eat. Y'all.
There is food you can eat that could like help with as far as preventing sex. I wouldn't.
Well, yeah.
I think people are kind of pushing it a little bit. I want to say one was like papaya. I got to look it back up. But it's certain fruit that you can eat that can lower your chances.
Any fruits or vegetables that look like your body part when you cut it open, that's the body part that it's good for. So, like, when you cut open, like for women, when you cut open an avocado, it looks like the inside of our cervix and our uterus is good for women's health. So, like, yeah, if you want to know what foods are good and you don't have time to look anything up, you can just cut open a fruit or vegetable, and it'll look like similar to a body part.
Okay,
listen, we're not having no wellness fucking episode. Fuck all that healthy shit, because I'm finna take my ass to White Castle. So I'm gonna go ahead.
Nothing. Ew. White
my
Castle
friend
is trash.
My friend is gonna kick my ass on Thursday, but I don't care. I want some burgers. But we'll be back tomorrow with some youth justice.
JD and his dead sperm.
Right.
Oh.
We gotta leave, bro. We gotta leave JD alone. Like, he really be getting bullied by women. Like, this is bad.
JD's sperm had an abortion, y'all. That's why.
No, I think he's about to go get somebody knocked up on purpose.
He's
about to come back like C.
No, I ain't gonna put nobody.
JD gonna come up with a baby.
Hell no.
Y'all,
just go ahead.
Okay, anyway. Please leave JD alone, please, before he go drink himself to death after this episode. Stop.
I'm going to drink himself to a baby. Look, I'm telling you, 10 months. I'm clocking it. Let me put it in my calendar.
I'm telling y'all, if any of y'all have babies while we're doing this podcasting, y'all getting kicked off, all right? This is it. Whatever baby is here now, I don't care. Whatever babies is here now, that's the only babies you can afford.
Unless some sucker want to marry my annoying ass.
Okay.
Because if I get married,
that's a different story. But if y'all have them babies out of wedlock while we doing this podcast, you gone.
Hey.
All right?
I told you my pull-out game is amazing, so it ain't going to happen.
I'm not on here.
JD about to get on my knock up just because you said that.
Oh, I see what y'all doing. JD, you ain't finna have no kids. Bro, shut up. But but anyways. Let me go ahead and close this out real quick because I need to go get my White Castle. So tomorrow we'll be back at 8 p.m. with a youth justice and crime prevention episode. That shit is gonna be dope. So check back in. And Bree, shout out to Bree. I know she's on the phone, but shout out to Bree because she like our tech person and part of the podcast. That damn Periscope is dope. And that picture, the original picture that you put up there. I didn't really want you to put that on the Periscope, but it's okay that you did.
It fits, though. It fits for him. I cycle.
You're through
a couple
everything
things.
Everything you're doing is dope. Everybody up here that's contributing, y'all dope as shit, too. So tomorrow, 8 p.m., be ready. So good night and goodbye. Oh, and wait.
Bye, y'all.
Caller.
Thank you.
Wait. Our secret caller. Thank you for coming to share your story because I think that was very important for this conversation. I'm so sorry.
You guys are welcome.
Thank you for sharing. And if you ever want to come back, we got some space.
Yep.
If you want to come back and just listen or chat. So,
Planned Parenthood lady, thank you. You gave us a lot of like really factual good information. It was very appreciated. You articulated yourself well.
Why
the hell
you call her Planned Parenthood lady? That's a damn research.
I hate
it. She's doing all the reading and research for us that we studying. You know what? I'm gone. Good night. Goodbye.